Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. This is Steven, the moderator for your call today. Welcome to the post-results conference call of AIA Engineering Limited. We have with us today the management team of AIA Engineering Limited. At this moment, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one. I would now like to turn the conference over to AIA Engineering Management Team. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good evening to all of you. Thank you for joining the call. I have Sanjay Bhai here with me. This is Kunal. And I hope you all got a chance to look at the numbers, but nevertheless, we'll give you a quick summary on numbers, share a bit of update on the market, and we'll get into Q&A. We are happy that this will be we've crossed the 1,000 crore mark in a quarter, first time in history, and we are very happy about it. We've done 1,080 crores of revenue in the quarter, and that came from about 73,000 tons of sales and 70,000 tons of production, you know, in this quarter. So we ended the full year with 260,500 tons. That's down from 266,000 tons that we did full year last year. But that this volume figure is in light of 40,000 tons that we have approximately lost on account of our reduction in sales in Canada and South Africa. So optically, while it looks like a small reduction, in real sense, you know, we've added more customers, you know, to the tune of about 30,000 tons. So for the full year, and this in a year where shipping costs continue to be a headwind, and raw materials have been, you know, and all other items have gone through a serious inflationary trend, as you all know from most of the company's commentary. So in that, you know, in that backdrop, we are happy to report that we've done new customer addition and increased, you know, wallet share with our existing customers. So the full year from a revenue standpoint, we are at 3,514 crores, and that's up from, you know, about 2,800 crores that we've done full year last year. Of course, a lot of that is, you know, accounted by the increase in the selling price. So the average realization for the full year stands at 134, and which is up from 105 full year last year. And the realization for the last quarter is at 148. So over the last 4 or 5 quarters, you've actually seen the whole pass-through come along, and that was a concern that many people had in terms of how will we be able to pass on our different costs, especially raw material and shipping. And you will see that our numbers now, our realization reflects a lot of that pass-through, you know, come along. Moving forward, you know, our EBITDA is at 264 crores. That's up from 192 in the fourth quarter last year and 203 in the third quarter this year. That's about 24.20%. And profit after tax of 194 crores. So overall, we are a decent quarter in terms of financials. Some housekeeping numbers: our export benefits, you know, are restricted to what we earn on our, you know, non-grinding media exports, and duty drawback for grinding media and non-grinding media. The total is at 13 crores. At least 10 crores is what we have lost on account of, you know, rod tape and, you know, the removal of rod tape on grinding media and the reduced rate on non-grinding media. So at least 15 crores, I would imagine. So there's a full year impact of about 60 crores on account of, you know, the rod tape changes that came along. Our other income in terms of treasury is at 17.24 crores. Full year is at about 97, and that mostly compares to about 100 crores we earned full year last year. Full year last year, we also had gains in terms of some of these bond investments we had. So the 100 crore also includes fair value gains on some items. Foreign exchange is at 21. Full year is at 58 crores, and that compares to about 71 last year. A big point is about our increase in working capital. You know, we've added about 600 crores of working capital for the full year. And the total working capital days have moved from 117 to about 124. So as sales have increased from, you know, 2800 to 3500 crores, you know, 700 crores at 120 days, you know, that itself would be about 200 to 250 crores. And the rest has just come with the one-time addition of stock that we've done for various customers, transit stock, raw material stock, you know, and our debtor days, you know. The quarter we see an increase in sales, your disproportionate increase in that quarter ends debtor base, and that gets adjusted for the rest when you look at it on a portfolio basis. So so that's our net cash at 1850 crores, and that's down from, you know, end of last year, we're about 100 crores lower than what we were end of last year. So we've deployed, you know, money in working capital. We've done about 130 crores of capex this year, mostly on the mill lining plant. We've done about 30 crores on, you know, some windmill investments, you know, and other capex that we've done. So total is at 130 crores full year, plus the dividend we paid out and the...
Yes, hi. Sorry about that interruption. So I was saying that we've moved from about 1200 crores, you know, 1300 crores of 1229 crores of working capital to about 1834. There's a marginal increase in the number of days from 117 to 124. The rest just reflects, you know, the larger revenue and the downstream investments in stocks, raw materials, stores, etc., finished goods, debtors. And so the combination of that has led to a cash balance reducing from 2200 crores to 218 to 1890 end of this March. I'm comparing March last year, March of this year. From a volume standpoint, we've done about 171,000 tons in mines and about 90,000 tons, you know, in non-mining application. The mining bit obviously reflects the reduced after the reduction of volume that we had from Canada and South Africa. From a, you know, basic from update for the business standpoint, the boards today, you know, announced a dividend of 9 rupees a share, and that will lead to an outgo of about 84 crores for the year. The capex for the, we're very happy to, you know, also report there's been concerns around growth, around tonnages, you know, and the guidance for the period coming up. Our concerns around high shipping costs continue, you know, about our inability to, you know, when we're moving from a forged solution to a chrome solution, there is a large conversation on costs, and the extra shipping cost is, you know, creating a headwind in terms of growth. But like we added 30,000 tons of customers last year, you know, our sales team has projected a growth of 30 to 40,000 tons, you know, this year and next. That is the guidance, you know, as far as our teams are going out and, you know, approaching customers, looking at conversions, looking at bigger wallet share. And this includes grinding media and mill linings both. So we are happy that, you know, with the travel that has opened up, the conversations that we are having with our customers lead us to, and what we have done last year, in a very difficult year, you know, the customers that we've added gives us this confidence that we should now get back onto our growth trajectory. And with that, we are very happy to inform that we've got back the brownfield expansion for grinding media from the cold storage. We had paused it after the COVID, you know, linked slowdown that was there in calendar 2020. You know, so we are now looking to add 80,000 ton of capacity and doing it with an outlay of around 200 crores, between 200 and 220 crores of outlay. And it's lower than our normal capex for this type of addition is because it's a brownfield expansion. And we should be able to commission that in calendar 2024, you know, basically between 18 and 24 months from now. So that's a good development in terms of, you know, giving that visibility in terms of capacity. And also happy to report that a mill lining plant is nearly ready to commission. We are in the trial phase right now. And sometime in June, we should be announcing our, you know, the start of that plant. So with that, you know, we are at 390,000 tons. With the mill lining, we'll be at 440. And with the 80,000 tons of grinding media, we'll be at 520,000 tons, you know, 500,000 ton of capacity for high chrome products. So that's a great number and milestone that we look forward to, you know, putting in place and working towards that. And so the CAPEX plan, the outlay for the coming year is at 300 crores for FY22-23. That includes, you know, 130 crores towards, you know, the balancing part of mill linings and the grinding media plant, about 90 crores for captive, you know, solar renewable, you know, wind power generation, captive power generation, that's hybrid and wind, looking at about 90 crores towards that, and about 60 crores of other capex. So total of 300 crores is the guidance for our capital spend in FY22-23. And another 100 to 120 crores in 23-24, which will be the balancing for the grinding media plant. I think those are the key updates for this quarter. From a business standpoint, I think raw material continues to be at an elevated level. Shipping, with what happened with China and the interruption that came in because of the ports that and the third and the fourth order effects of, you know, interruption with shipping because of China, still haunts us. There is uncertainty around containers, the cost of the container, etc. But I think as a business, we are moving on saying if it reduces, great. But this looks to be, you know, the near-term reality and how do we adapt and work towards that. So, and our ability to travel allows us to continue having more conversations and hopefully getting back to growth board, you know, from this year onwards. I'll request Sanjay Bhai to, you know, share his brief from the board meeting today, and then we'll get on to it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks, Kunal, for detailed briefing. And I think while Kunal has covered most of the points, two, three very important key takeaways that we have, even at the cost of being slightly repetitive. One, demonstration of the ability to pass on almost on 100% basis all the cost increases that has been further continued and strongly established by the fact that there is a significant improvement in the realization. Both the cost of raw materials plus the cost of freight has been nearly 100% passed on, and that process of passing on continues, so which is a good sign, and therefore there is a significant reflection in reasonably strong profit numbers that the company has posted in the quarter and the year ended March 22. That's point number one. Resumption of the CAPEX plan at a slightly elevated capacity of about 80,000 tons, brownfield expansion for the grinding media as announced in the board and therefore as discussed by Kunal, at a outlay of close to 200 crores to be completed over next couple of years, that is 22-23 and 23-24, and reasonable surety given by the sales teams, and therefore based on which Kunal has declared and we have discussed at the board, and it has been declared that we should be able to do conservatively anywhere between 30 to 40K this year as well as going forward even in next year. But as we progress, as we actually start achieving the numbers, we will talk more about it. So I think I have, with this, I request the moderator to throw the house open for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone and await for your turn to ask a question when guided by the facilitator. If your question has been answered before your turn and you wish to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and two. You are requested to use handsets while asking a question. The first question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Kunal sir and Sanjay sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is with respect to overall activity in mining, with the commodity prices, especially copper, etc., continuing to remain on a higher side. How's the activity across the globe, if you can touch upon whether there is an increase in plans in terms of output across the miners, and is there more mines being opened? So if you can give your thought process on that, it will be great, sir.
Yeah, sure. I think nothing more to add than what you read in the newspapers. I don't think there's any specific insight about it, but clearly they're all doing well. When ore prices are good, I'm not saying high, when they're good, everyone wants as much tonnage to be produced and sold, right? So everybody's operating at a high utilization level right now for sure. They want to take fewer downtimes as much possible. So anything that helps with them is clearly on the table for discussion. New plants, a lot of people are announcing, you know, that they're setting up capacity, but it takes time. So it's not going to be new capacity for it to come up, which would have been announced recently. That's a longer lead time, right? But overall, it's a good place where our customers are doing well generally, right? Nothing specific that applies, you know, that will change our fortune dramatically. But clearly, customers are keen for a good vendor, having the quality of the product that we have. I think there's a great place to produce these products. And you know, we've got power, we've got skilled labor, you know, all of that. So, and we're not seeing new players coming in, you know, in large numbers to be participate in this industry. So, and the West, as you know, they're not getting people for even simple things like delivery. Forget finding people for working on the shop floor. So, you know, this everything that's happened last 2 years only makes our model even more stronger, you know, to stand the test of time.
Got it, sir. And my second question, how much amount of volumes related to Canada, South Africa and Brazil might be still sitting in our volumes of 260,000 tons, in the sense that...
So this year we did about 10,000 tons in Brazil.
Brazil, okay.
Versus what we've done about 6,000 tons the previous year.
Previous year. So actually it has climbed, you are saying. So basically in spite of the...
We've added 4,000 tons in Brazil, and for Canada and South Africa, we would have lost about between 35 and 40,000 tons.
Okay, we would have lost that much, but what kind of volumes we are still doing in those two geographies? Any sense?
Canada, we would have done about very small cement quantity in Canada.
Okay.
No, nothing with the mining side.
Okay. And South Africa also, it will be very small quantities as of now?
Yeah. Very small. Say 6,000-7,000 tons.
Okay, sir. Got it. And how is our traction in newer geographies like Chile and Peru, etc.? Any sense on that, sir?
Quite nice. But like you said, you know, travel's begun now. And that's our highest focus as far as grinding media is concerned. We're making all efforts. We hope we have good news to share in next 2-3 quarters there on their account.
Got it, sir. And my final question is with respect to the mill liners. So basically, have we already started engaging with our customers for sale of mill liners, given that the plant is going to start in the next 2 to 3 months? What kind of volumes?
The plant is starting this one in the next 30 days. And we've started work now. Because now that the plant has clear path to commissioning, and travel has started, we're not going to let the plant sit idle. And we are hoping that, you know, we get a decent traction from this year itself.
Okay. And what kind of volumes we can expect, say, this year or probably next year? Any steady state volume number that you have in mind, sir?
It will not help that overall. I mean, overall, we're doing 30 to 40,000 tons, which is both put together.
Additional. Oh, I mean, you're talking about additional mill liner volume from this plant to be 30-40,000 tons in the next 2 months.
Ultimately, the plant can produce 40, you know, at 90% utilization, 80-90%, between 40-45,000 tons, which we hope to fully utilize in the next 3 to 4 years.
Next 3 to 4 years. Okay, got it, sir. And what kind of realization, sir? So, basically, with all the price increases that has happened, will it be a ballpark around 200 rupees to the kg? So, that kind of realization is possible? Hello.
But like we already explained, there's a grinding media and a non-grinding media portion in our current sales. With what we're trying to do in mining liner, that mix will continue to prevail. So it will not be skewed towards on the lower side. I don't think you should project an upside with a realization on mining liner.
Got it, sir. Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks, Ravi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Kunal Sanjay bhai. Firstly, on this guidance of 30 to 40,000 tons extra volume, so generally in our business, we would have probably done the trials and also, you must be fairly confident of these volumes from new mines, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the effort that we've done. We did this in last year, right? Unfortunately, that duty stuff came up and we had to lose volumes, or this would have been a growth year for us. And we are, the concern was shipping, and we were hesitating to say we can grow despite high shipping, but we spent a year with a high shipping rate, more than a year, right? And the change in mindset is that ye rahega abhi. This is what, we can't live hoping that freight goes down and we'll grow thereafter. That's the mindset change that has happened over last quarter or two. Saying assume that this prevails, what does life look like? You know, what can we achieve, you know, keeping that in mind? And that's why we are saying, okay, it looks like we should be able to continue to grow despite, you know, those challenges in high freight cost.
And generally, these new volumes will come from which minerals? Any color? Is it more gold or copper or any color we can provide over there?
Gold, iron, all three. I mean, I don't think fair to segment this at this stage.
So, Ashutosh, what's happening?
This is more a directional.
Exactly.
You know, for last 2 years, 2.5 years, right? 2 years, I mean, we've been discussing all sorts of problems. I think here's where we're turning that leaf, turning the page and saying, we're looking to grow now. You know, there is, travel was a problem, COVID-related travel restrictions were a problem, high shipping rate, cost, you know, plenty of things went wrong last 3-4 years.
Yeah.
It looks like that now all that is behind us. You know, the teams are in place, all efforts we've done in the last 2 years are ready. So it's a directional conversation saying it looks like that we should be able to grow. I mean, it will not be fair to go into further dicing on how and where. All that is done, but, you know, I think allow us to deliver on it at this time and we'll keep sharing what we've done, you know.
And on the Brazil side, where we've done 10,000 you mentioned was last year. And this is despite the duty of, I think, 10-12% which is there on the product over there.
Yeah.
So, is it like the audio, I know customers coming back to us or are there something else?
No, so we're doing, it's a combination of things, Ashutosh.
Okay. But the same customer is which was, I think, in that market.
We've added a customer also over there, but it is also the other customer that we had before. Yeah, I don't think we'll be able to share too much because it's information related to the customer. But, and whether this year 10 is going to become 20, we don't know, I think, but maybe steady state for Brazil for this year.
Okay, there was a mine which was closed, I think, I don't recall the name, Samara something which was supposed to come up.
Volume is expected to, you know, materialize as an opportunity, not yet, I don't think that's continued, converted, or it's in the process of discussions.
Okay, and lastly, whatever increase which happened at the customer level in terms of stocks, that is now done. So beyond this, there won't be any further addition. Essentially, add a new customer in terms of inventory at the warehouses.
That's a tough one. See, the thing is, we always explain that a high shipping cost is a cost issue, but it's also reflective of the turbulence in the shipping in the ocean freight market, right? And if I'm a customer and if I'm waiting to on a critical product, right, that can stop my plant, and if I'm buying that overseas, then I'm depending on that supply chain that I have no control on, right? And if the shipping rates are higher by 3 times or 4 times, it's just symbolic of the stress and the problem that is there in that supply chain. So that's where it comes from, you know, whether what happens, you know, whether customers, so the easiest way to tell the customer is that I'll put more stock on the ground, I'll put more stock in transit, so that even if there is a problem, you don't have to, you will not be left, your plant will not get shut, and that's on us, right?
No, I get that, I think that was logic, but I'm just saying that now that process is largely done.
Explaining that it can go up, but it can go by, you know, a few hundred crores plus and minus. It's not going to be, you're not going to be putting 2,000 crores more into working capital, right? So and it will be stock against orders. My only simple point is that it will be, even if it increases a little, it will be against a confirmed order that the customer is going to pick up. It's just where he wants us to be deploying, on the ground.
So, Ashutosh, in terms of number of days, if you say, the probability of number of days reducing is not there. But we should be able to maintain this same or similar levels in terms of, say, 75-80 days of WIP and finished goods, about 20 to 30 days of raw materials, and about 75 odd days of debtors.
But the point is that we want to grow, we want to grow, and if it needs...
So as the sales grow, obviously the absolute terms, the holding can go up, because we will have to stock, we will have to maintain finished goods, mainly finished goods at various warehouses. But this is proportionate to the increase in sale. So that way, in terms of number of days, absolute term, I think it should be more or less, it may not be able to reduce, it will not increase also dramatically in terms of number of days sale.
Got it, got it. Lastly, on the realization of US dollar, INR, what are the rate that we realize in the quarter and what should be going ahead?
Average, just hang on 1 second. For the year, it was about 74.50. For the quarter, should be about 75 and 76. I don't have the number on top of our heads, but between 75 and 76.
Should improve going ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
So I have two questions. One on your mill lining plant. So this facility and the sales cycle for this, what would be the strategy and how easy is it, considering the fact that in this we are seeing customer adoption towards the rubber plus metal based mill lining. So some comments there. If we were gainer on ferro to high chrome, Here, are we slightly at a tougher situation?
So, the mill lining that we are selling to is an application which is generally mutually exclusive to rubber, which is rubber is exists on the secondary and the tertiary side. Metal exists on the larger mills called the sag mills or the primary mills. Generally, that's occupied by rubber or by metal, which is where our products exist. Where rubber is concerned, they're moving rubber to rubber and metal. Okay. I don't think in those larger mills with high impacts, there is a migration from metal to metal rubber. Generally, we've not come across such instances. So, we are talking of a market where we are competing with other metal lining producers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but the strategy is to convert them into our design versus what is the incumbent's design. And that's the whole play in the market. There are 3 or 4 players, all of them are developed except one. Everyone else is a developed country producer with a different cost structure. Right, so first we are competing with an efficient structure, and the second is more importantly we are in the business because we can dramatically change operating parameters for a customer using our design linings, right? And that's where we exist. When we were introducing alloys, it was a wear cost advantage, right? A person moving from hypothetically rubber to rubber metal is a wear cost and the life of the lining conversation. Here, in our case, the whole conversation is to improve throughput by 15-20%, reduce power consumption by that extent, right? So the benefits are several times of the cost of our parts. So the benefit that one would achieve with a changing the alloy or improving wear rates are far smaller than, the realm of what we are discussing right now in our mill lining strategy.
And what is the market size of this and those four players?
300-350,000 tons annual consumption.
Okay. And the size of those four players? And is it the same customer to whom you have to sell, or you have to develop a completely new customer?
No, the same customer.
Okay.
They're all similar consumers.
So you will also go through, because the plant is coming now, you will go through your own sales cycle in this product.
We're selling 20,000 of these parts to the mining customers from our existing plant, right? It's not a new product for us. Equivalent size or little less size in we're already doing mill linings for cement business for last 30 years. It's not a new business for us. It's just a mining application, which is the grinding at the mining end. Is something that is a catch-up for us as far as the process is concerned or the mining application is concerned. And that's where we have invested that time over the last 3-4 years. Because we were setting up the plant, that is something that we spend time on. And we believe now we are ready to, you know, take advantage of that.
Okay. My second question is, sir, on your GP and the freight cost. So what we see, your gross profit per kg has continuously increased, which has taken care of the freight cost increase. And yet we are a net gainer when we look at your EBITDA per kg. Since the last 3-4 quarters that we are seeing, despite, your raw material price rise and freight cost rise. Should we assume, this absolute EBITDAs per kg to sustain, or, there has been a fair bit of volatility in your business. We were at 30 plus rupees per kg some years back. Then we are at about 25, 26. We started the year at 25. We are ending the year at 31. So, what would be your best guess in terms of the profitability per kg?
So, I'm Sanjay here. First, at the outset, I want to clarify that internally, the yardstick of measurability is not per kg. We have been clarifying this on a few earlier occasions as well for the very simple reason that we work with a very diverse product mix comprising of casting. And within casting family, several products like cement, tube mill liners, VSMS, mining liners, and a variety of different products. And then there is a whole vast gamut of different types of grinding media balls, ranging and tailorized and customized for various type of requirements. So there is not a standard product, and therefore EBITDA or a realization per kg is generally not the right yardstick. So we look at more as a percentage of operating EBITDA. That is point number one. Point number two, the function of increase in realization is not merely the freight cost, but also the capability for passing of the raw material price increase. And therefore, the blended effect is... So effectively what happens is the sales volume and the realization goes up, fixed overheads remain, and the absolute terms profitability improves. But if you look at percentage of operating EBITDA, it is actually has gone down a little bit. This is because the freight cost is passed on an actual reimbursement basis, and there is no profit element there, as you will appreciate. On the raw materials, we don't share our detailed costing, but there are generally yardsticks or benchmarks agreed based on which we keep on discussing quarter over quarter the price increases. So I think more or less, if I may want to make a statement, that at a pure operating EBITDA level of around 20 or 21%, I think we should be able to maintain that going forward with a significant increase in volumes as guided by us. And we should be able to improve it also gradually as we move forward. But at this point in time, we are not giving any guidance about improvement in EBITDA or operating profit margins. Again, on the GP per kilo, therefore, with the same logic, we would rather want to restrict ourselves to the EBITDA percentage to sales as the most reliable yardstick. And that is where I therefore have to request you to kindly look at from that angle.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Congratulations on the successful. Sir, my first thing is I wanted to clarify. You said 6,000 to 7,000 tons in FY22 from Canada and South Africa. This is in FY22 totally, or was it only in fourth quarter?
Only totally.
What is the question?
Canada. Whole year.
Whole year.
Yeah.
And quarter would have been very minimal volume, right? I mean, hardly 1,000 even. Okay. The other thing was Brazil has done around 10,000. I remember historically used to do something like 20,000 or 1,000. So are we seeing that kind of scaling up in the next 2 years from Brazil as well?
The Brazil answer was just an indicative. I think, like I said, we cannot keep slicing at the time we'd lost 16 or 18,000 tons, so it was a material event, right? We keep losing and getting customers at times because of different conditions. I don't think 10,000 tons in the scheme, if we're adding 60 to 70 or 80,000 tons in the next 2 years, if you're at 320, 330,000 tons, a 10,000 ton volume again becomes non-material, right? We may do more, we may do less, but given that there is one customer that has a higher volume, you know, we would prefer not to keep, you know, specifically talking about a volume over there, right? We may get 5,000 tons more, we may not, right? But the materiality is now not there anymore. In our growth plans, we are not counting on it to come back.
Got it. Fair point. So the other thing was, you know, when we had started with the EMS solutions, we were talking to 10, 12 customers on trial basis, etc. And clearly there was a lot of saving and, you know, from a client perspective where we were quite positive on. So if you can just give a status on, you know, how things are today, you know, what kind of volumes are coming from the EMS part of the business and where this can possibly scale up to, given now that the mill lining plant will be operational.
So the at the time, you know, we had discussed and talked about EMS simply because we had signed an agreement with them. Our mill lining strategy is very independent of that. Yeah, it is not contingent on, you know, what that collaboration is going to bring to the table. Our endeavor is to, our strategy is to bring value to the customer in addition to the wear rates and other benefits that we bring, right? And there are many moving parts in that strategy. One of that is what, you know, comes to the table from that EMS collaboration. But if you're going to add 40,000 tons in next 3 years in the mill lining space, it will be a combination of many other things that we are doing. EMS will be one part of that. But there is a lot of internal competency that exists along with other partners for offering those value-add benefits, right? The design of liner is one, metallurgical, you know, solutions is another, so on and so forth.
Got it. Fair point, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amit Dixit from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good for the project. I have two questions. The first one is on essentially order book. So if I see order book, it is on lower side, seems to be on lower side. Is it a function of price or a volume? So that is the first question.
Because now we are moved to rate contracts with a large number of customers. And they place monthly orders, quarterly orders for deliveries in the near future, right? So as a practice, we are not adding contract orders under the order book. And that's why this figure looks, I don't think that's a material figure now.
Okay. The second question is essentially on your growth plan. So if I look at the global major miners, I mean, likes of Vale, Glencore, and I won't go into specifics because we won't go into specifics. So their guidance is rather state on mining front. It's very static guidance. I mean, you talk of any metal player for FY23. So just wanted to, and then the number that you have are targeting 30 to 40,000 tons is quite material. So, just wanted to get that what gets you the confidence of, you know, achieving these kind of numbers when the guidance from miners itself is very placid.
A targeted conversion from forged to high chrome use. So we are talking of the huge headroom that exists today between the level of penetration that we have done in the three core ores on which we are concentrated upon, that is gold, copper and iron ore, where we believe that the combined market of conversion from the present conventional forged to our high chrome use is most conservatively anywhere between just around 1.5 to 2 million tons per year between these three ores, main ores, okay? As against that, the penetration is about 15% between us and our competitor, which means we are focused on converting those who are existing and already operating with some other alternate product, that is force, media or some different types of liners into our high chrome specific grinding media or liners. Therefore, we are agnostic. Let us assume the industry doesn't grow for next 5 years.
doesn't matter. We want to increase our market share or wallet share by conversion, and not therefore we are not dependent upon the growth. And that is why our confidence, see, because there is a tremendous effort that goes on our sales and our project development teams. When they start interacting with the mine, they demonstrate, they give, that we give them trials. Then there are, you know, mutual interactions. We go back and forth. The process goes on for 1 or 1.5 years. So it is this process which, as Kunal explained in the initial part of the call, was disrupted due to COVID, but which is now over the last 6 months really gained traction, which makes our sales teams give us a confidence that now we are in a position to commit that, yes, there is a lot of developmental effort which is now gaining traction, and therefore based on that we should see this much volume, additional volume coming incrementally at least year over year. And this is all from conversion and not dependent upon the growth cycle or increased capex requirements, etc. of miners.
Okay, wonderful. Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vitlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for good numbers. You mentioned that while you lost some 40,000 because of Canada and South Africa, you gained about 30,000 odd tons from new customers. Could you give us some flavor of who these new customers are and where are we getting these new customer wins?
Difficult. In fact, we are not actually sharing the names of the customers as a matter of policy, but just to give a little flavor, the key geographies where we are very bullish and we see a lot of traction is the Central America, the Latin America part, that is the entire South Africa, Latin America, then South Africa, the entire African region, Australia, CIS. These are the regions where a lot of traction we are seeing, a lot of additional incremental customers we have gained in the core three ores that we are talking about, that is gold, copper and iron.
Fair enough. The second question is, on your upping of the guidance on the capital expenditure side, from 50,000 tons to the 80,000 tons. Could you just help us understand why is it going to take 2 years, because this facility was actually under the expansion mode for some time and a few machines only were being held on. So why is it going to take 2 years because this expansion?
It's 18 to 24 months, right? I'm just... because equipment lead time is there, it will be at least 12 months lead time for the... today our car takes 8 months to 10 months we are waiting here, right? I mean, the equipment that we are ordering, is at least 12 months of delivery time. So, I think 18 months, we'll have to create a balancing infrastructure also. You were there at the plant, there is this, the expansion still needs, the civil work needs to be done, but within the plant. So what do we say? We don't have to make land acquisition, we don't have to apply for pollution, environmental clearance, power is there, the substation is there with the capacity to enhance. Those things take away now today in India anywhere between 12 and 15 months, that portion is eliminated. But from the day we start to get go, ground break for that brownfield, it is minimum 18 months just because of the delivery time, the installation, the commissioning, all that put together. So 18 to 24 months is a, I don't think it can be lower than that.
Sure. So it's just that the equipment lead time has gone up.
Exactly.
Understand that. And lastly, do we have, if you could give us just flavor, you've talked about it extensively, but on the new mill liner expansion that we are targeting, do we have any case studies where we have customers and we have already installed some of the trial units and then we are confident of scaling that up on a 3-4 year basis?
Absolutely. No, more than a few now. Absolutely.
Okay.
And we've done that, and see, this is not new for us, right? In the cement side, that's a day job. Every single non-grinding media part that we install, which is vertical mill parts and cube mill parts, every single casting goes to every single solution we offer has gone through that, right? So, in that sense, it's not a new thing that we're doing. It's just that knowledge for the mining application is the variable that's new for us. Everything else is something that we've done, right? The DNA is still the same.
In mining, we are anyway doing.
Yeah, and those solutions, more than a few case studies now. We are doing 20,000 tons a year, you know, already. So this is adding another 40,000-45,000 from 20 is not even a very ambitious figure, right? It's easily doable in the scheme of things now.
Sure. Last question. From the non-mining volumes, what would be cement and because we have seen some growth in the non-mining side. So is it largely driven by cement? Or?
All of that growth is cement. Most of that growth is cement.
Okay. And of the non-mining, what percentage would be cement roughly?
90%.
Okay.
Almost.
Sure.
85-90%.
Sure. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Moria from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, sir. My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. My first question is, hypothetically, if there were not much of freight disruptions, let's say on the container availability and those, so how much potentially extra volumes you could have done in FY22, rough guesstimate?
Basically answering your question, you see, when at the beginning of COVID, you know, we were all geared up for similar kind of volumes coming from FY2021. At that point in time, we were talking of 25,000-30,000 tons per annum. So I think as a hypothetical answer, you can take it as 25,000-30,000 tons a year, which we have now clearly said, and we were, you know, we were very conservative in even not giving any guidance till we saw it happening with confidence coming from our sales teams. And that is why this time, while we had already indicated earlier, we are talking of anywhere between 30,000-40,000 should come based on the developments that are ongoing, number of mines that are under development, the response that we are receiving from the customers, the timelines that we are anticipating. And all those things factored into as a part of the careful budgeting exercise, which is elaborately carried out by our business development and sales teams.
So, sir, similarly on these lines, so now you are saying that probably would do 30-40 KT over FY23 and 24 each year. Now, I would guess that since you are speaking of mill liners included in these volumes, and as Kunal was saying, like, in four years, maybe we will have 80% utilization. So is it fair to assume that within this 30-40, at least 10-20 at the minimum level would be mill liners, or could it be even higher?
Out of this 40, you can say that every year, maybe around 8,000-10,000 tons incremental could be mill liners.
Okay, so the rest will be your grinding media. So broadly like 25-30 KT grinding media is here, broadly.
Right.
And sir, one more question. So there were trade actions like in Canada and South Africa where especially Magatox was the local manufacturer. Now what I observed is that among significant geographies, only in USA, Magatox has local manufacturing presence. So what do you think about any possibility of trade actions in USA? Is there already some kind of import duty that we face in USA? Like, what is your take on that? Any possibility about disruptions in USA?
That will involve some amount of speculation on our part to say what are the odds and the likelihood. I think, first of all, And speaking about Magotteaux, I think it's also not appropriate for us to specifically talk about their, you know, plants and what they're working on. As a philosophy, freight was a problem last 4 quarters. We are now saying we'll still grow. Let freight do whatever it has to do, right? Our business cannot be contingent on a duty, on a freight structure, on price increase, on different things, right? So a duty comes or duty does not come. We're back at 10,000 tons in Brazil. We're at peak, we were at 16, right? Does that demonstrate that there is a business model and strategy in place that is far above, you know, incidental, you know, events that can come across, right? So, it may come, it may not come. The point is that that's not going to stop us from growing, Priyanka.
So right now there are no duties or is there some duties?
There's a 2% or a 3% import duty from India into US. Custom duty.
And sir, the last question from my side. Recently, you had put out on the exchange, regarding some fraudulent activity by some employee regarding, like, say, on the technology front or something.
Correct.
So, what exactly happened? I mean, is there any risk that our
I think it's again sub judice. You know, there are things going on, and it is what we have reported. I don't think we'll be able to speak more. Nothing that, material implication that I can speak about right now. But it was important for us because, you know, it can have material consequences. It's a sub judice matter if we are not alert about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just to
add,
there
is no financial
impact. Financial implications as of now.
Okay. Okay, sir, that was all from my side.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening. First question is pertaining to if you can share the metal-wise split broadly for last year between the three major ores, just to get some sense of what contributes how much on historical basis, not forward-looking.
All three represent growth opportunity for us. We are agnostic to what gold and copper, we are able to add down process benefits, which is increase in recovery, etc. And those are ores of interest to us. But iron ore also is one very large market, and that continues to be our, you know, an important end application for us.
No, in terms of percentage contribution to total volumes, how much would be each?
It will be difficult. Like it's not something that we track because it does not. Our financials don't change based on that, right? We're agnostic to what ore type. So it's not something that we would, you know, really like to share at this time. That level of detail.
Okay. Second question is on the price pass-through. You did mention that for raw material price increase is entirely taken care of with the price hikes. But on logistics cost, to what quantum has it been passed to and, you know, what still remains with us?
Sorry, your voice broke. Can you repeat?
So in terms of price pass-through, we have passed through the entire raw material price hike. But in terms of logistics cost increase, you mentioned it's largely pass-through, but we still are bearing some of that increases in our costs. So what would that quantum?
Again, a directional answer. I don't think you should look into, you know, detail beyond that. Concept is that we are passing through, right? We thought that's going to be a challenge, but we are passing through. And that depends, you know, by the time we pass through, costs go down, then we have to, you know, refrain from holding it. So I don't think we'll have an exact number saying we passed through 60% and 40% we are in the process of. But there is some portion that has to still come along, but there are many variables linked to it, you know.
All right, and one question is on the mill liners business. You did highlight that in terms of, say, 40,000 additional volume, 8,000 to 10,000 tons can come from mill liners, which would be nearly 1/4 of the new volumes. So in terms of proportion, because we are doing only 20,000 tons in liners as of now, so wouldn't that lead to higher realization?
No, but we already have in our current 260 also a non-grinding media and a grinding media bit, right? So when we go from 260 to 300,000 tons, that additional 10,000 is also not going to move the needle significantly, right? So it will just keep the current mix going.
Okay, understood. And lastly, if on the succession plan, Would you want to make any comments over there? What is the board thinking about it?
Yeah, I think so. I'll ask Sanjay Bhai. Yeah. So you know, we have been very consciously over the last couple of years, the board and as well as the top management has been taking action. So first, the search is actually on for a global CEO, and that is going on in very serious earnest. Second, personally speaking, Mr. Bhadresh Shah, in his individual capacity, is now practically not involved in most of the key operations. So he hardly ever visits any plant, doesn't take any direct sales calls. Everything is done independently by professional teams across the globe. So business development and marketing, that part also is practically is on a hands-off sort of a position. Obviously, finance or procurement, etc., is absolutely not being taken care. So the only function he plays is more on a very wider strategic role. And I think going forward, we should be able to, ensure that there is a very seamless succession plan which has been put in place. So we are already working in all seriousness. We are working on that.
Okay, so instead of a family member, we'll have a professional global CEO who will be leading the
exactly
company forward. Yeah?
Exactly.
Sure. All right. Thank you so much, Sanjay Bhai Kunal Bhai, for taking the
question. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand the recent India and Australia kind of free trade agreement. And since Australia is a key market for us, is there any benefit which will accrue to AIA because of this agreement?
Well, actually, this free trade agreement is an additional feature. We are in the process of examining it, but the development that we do with a client is actually agnostic to any further benefit that we may get out of an FTA. So very honestly, we haven't really considered weighing those benefits, but there would be some incremental benefit. But the point I'm trying to make is that we are agnostic to FTAs, so whether there is an FTA or not, that benefit itself can be translated on a one-to-one bilateral basis.
Australia, for example, it goes, the duties at 4, it goes to 0 in 4 years. So there is some benefit at least for the Australia FTA. For others, I mean, it's a work in progress.
Right, sir. And my next question is, our power costs are, earlier used to be around 10 to 11% of sales, they've come down to 9% this year. So just wanted to understand, is this a one-off and should we not look more into it, or are we seeing some benefits from the windmills that we have developed over the years?
Renewables.
It's
yeah. So basically what is happening, you are looking at the net power cost. So we have been progressively installing more and more windmills. And
you can consider 9%, right? It's a benefit of the captive renewable that we have. Yeah?
Yeah, so that should be the rate going forward, or we can expect some more comments?
I consider this for now.
Around 9, yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kunal and Sanjay Bhai. So just one question. You have said two things on freight. Firstly, on the existing operations, we have been able to pass it on to customers on a very regular basis, and it is reflecting in margins. And secondly, for new customers, you are saying that this was a hampering factor for conversion. So let's say when you talk about 30 to 40 KT of new volumes next year, should we assume that to start off with, you'll have discounts to cover the freight just to ensure conversions, and then later on you'll be able to pass it on to customers and margins will recoup for the new customer specifically?
No, I don't think so. See, what has happened that as you mature and as your position becomes more and more consolidated, this kind of very fine math.
Yeah, it's a very simplistic question. I mean, real life, there will be many other variables that may be beyond just the freight cost, right? We are saying that high freight is a reality for the medium term, near to medium term. We have created a model around it, right?
And we have been able to pass it on with
a concept, using pricing is not
our preferred method, right? Rather focus on value addition and then demonstrate that and work harder on it.
Product mix, many factors, yeah.
Sure. Okay. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sujit Jain from ASK Investment. Please go ahead.
Anjali and Kunal bhai, congratulations. Very good set of numbers. Just on to the previous question, when eventually shipping issues get resolved in the medium term, then this 25,000-30,000 tons that could have happened, that could be additional. Is that the correct understanding?
It comes with the asterisk, right? This is again a directional answer, right, Sujit bhai? We are finally going from saying we are worried, this, that, COVID, to saying it looks like we are back to growth. I think allow us a few quarters, we'll have much more direct clarity, you know, as we are going, right? 30-40 is a good number to start with and target, and we hope we do more, but the idea is to keep doing that for a longer period, right? And that's what the focus is right now. We do 10,000 tons more or 20 does not change the needle because we want to become 500,000 tons in next 5 years, for example, right? That's the direction. Now 10,000-20,000 tons early or later will not change the directional, you know, answer.
Okay. And the current mill lining sales at 20,000 tons, what is the capacity?
50,000 tons, the new plant. Total is about 70,000 including existing plants.
Okay. And you said Australia, the current duty is 4% and it will go down to nil in 4 years due to the FTA.
Correct.
Right. And then there's one question on the balance sheet. Your other fixed, non-current assets are at 319 crores. There's a rise there. If you can explain.
Okay, I will come to that question. Non-current assets, can I take that offline with you? I don't have the answer immediately with you.
Sure. And you just said, I just wanted to confirm, the power cost would now be in the range of about 9% of sales.
9 to 10%, again, you know, we're doing power trading, we're doing renewable, right? Renewable also has a cycle, you know, it's not all 12 months. Wind is concentrated in 2-3. So again, 9 to 10% and we'll leave it at that. It's not a exact number, it'll be this much.
Sure. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from Prabhudas Lilladhar. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. My first question is on the mill liner side. As you mentioned, you must be adding 50,000 capacity. Just wanted to understand how big this market is, what is the competitiveness and who are the leaders now and where does AIA would be aiming to in 3-4 years in this space? Hello?
Yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the total additional capacity that we are creating is about 50,000 tons. And the market, as we already explained earlier, of mill liners could be anywhere in the region of about 300,000 tons. We are already doing about 20,000 tons. So we should find a decent traction going forward based on whatever indications we are getting from the sales.
So how much would be the current market share or any competitive intensity in this space?
So there are major global players who are already active in this. They are all key global players with whom we are competing, but we are pitching on a unique design platform based on our technology tie-up with the American company, plus our own research that we are doing. And therefore, you know, that way we are in a... We believe we are in a competitively better position, so we should be able to get a decent market share. More importantly, there is also an element of cross-selling which is always there because while we sell mill liners, we also push grinding media and vice versa. So that helps us in increasing our wherewithal to approach a customer with a comprehensive solution.
Right, thanks. So next question on the base volume. So for this year, the existing base volume of 230,000 tons, how much of this volume where we are immediately competing with Meritor or Meritor as a plant near so supplying to the several customer?
I don't think that's an answer that we'll be able to share. I mean, there we compete with the forged guys, you know, where we convert into chrome, and obviously we compete with Magneto on the chrome side. So whatever is chrome is theoretically, you know, they are in the same market.
So basically what we are trying to understand is how much of this volume could again be at risk of, you know, the duties which have been facing for 12, 18 months.
No. So I think there is a mix-up here. First, let's understand this. The current year's sales is about 260,000 tons. That includes hardly a few thousand tons of 6 to 7,000 tons of sales, which has come from Canada, where there was a due anti-dumping.
No, total between 8 and 10,000 tons that's come from South Africa and Canada.
South Africa.
Yes, sir, my question was out of 260, 30,000 is from the new customers, right?
Correct.
And after the loss, we have 230 base volumes, right?
Yeah.
So out of this 230, I just wanted to understand, is there any volume which is at risk of competing with Meritor or coming under any such duties in future?
No, not really.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to AI Engineering Management Team.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. As usual, Sanjay and I remain available for any offline questions that one may have. Thank you so much and have a good evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. We thank you for your participation and for using Chorus Call Conferencing Services. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you. Have a good evening.